We have often ventured into horror films related to demonic possession. We have also explored found footage films. But what happens when you combine these two themes? Today, we will dive deep into the body cavities of The Devil Inside and The Last Exorcism on the Speak of the Devil edition of Shriek Previews!
Your heart will cease with fear. The monster's creeping near. It's time to lend an ear.
Dan, do you think exorcism is real?
I can't say I do. I can't say I do. And this goes back to what we discussed back in the Pope's Exorcist episode, where we were talking, what do you make of all this?
Yeah.
You know, there's people running around committing atrocities. There's school shootings. There's all sorts of crazy people running in cults and all this other crappery. And then you've got this lady who's convulsing and speaking in tongues, and that's possession of the devil?
Right, yeah.
It doesn't match to me.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the whole faith thing I kind of like struggle with. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to say whether I believe or not, but, you know, I struggle. I struggle a lot with a lot of questions, and this is one of them. I don't see this being a real thing.
Sure.
You know, what about you?
Yeah, I kind of think that maybe exorcisms at one time were a thing because we didn't know about mental illness and things like that. If there was an actual instance that people were climbing walls or floating above the bed or whatever, that it was irrefutable supernatural instances.
But you don't see that.
I think we would hear about it.
Yeah. But and, you see, you know, somebody that just like acts like they're possessed, but you don't see them climbing up walls. You don't see them doing levitating things and, you know, throwing a priest across the room. You don't see that. You simply don't.
Right.
A lot of this goes to your beliefs. And back in the day, there was a lot of influence. Not so much now. As a matter of fact, attendance in churches has been declining steadily over the years. And we know of such things as schizophrenia, multiple personality disorders, you know, all sorts of mental illnesses.
Right.
So it's, you know, as we go on in our evolution, we tend to lose some of the old belief systems that we have because we've come to know, oh, well, this is what's causing that or that, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, it's great fun to see it on a theater and a movie, but no, I don't think that's real, man.
Right. Yeah. Whether it's real or not, it doesn't make it less entertaining to watch movies about it.
Exactly.
And so today we are going to be watching and talking in depth about The Last Exorcism and The Devil Inside. So spoiler alert, listeners, if you haven't seen those movies, turn this off. Go watch those movies, maybe get possessed a little bit, and then come back and listen. And also, who are you listening to? Well, this is the Shriek Previews podcast. And I'm one of your hosts, Brent.
And I'm Dan.
And we are here to talk about horror movies. I guess with all that out of the way, I'm starting off because we go in chronological order and my movie came first. So we're going to talk about 2010's The Last Exorcism. This was directed by Daniel Stamm, and Cotton Marcus is a fraud preacher who puts on a show in the pulpit and does theatrical exorcisms for some side cash. This film is documentary style, as he has decided to film a documentary exposing himself and other false exorcists. However, he comes across a real possession and has to deal with the ramifications of that, as well as the fact that she's secretly in a cult, as is revealed in the end. So, that's the movie in the nutshell. I enjoyed the movie.
Me too.
I thought the Cotton Marcus, the character, well, not the character, but the actor who played him.
Patrick Fabian.
Yes. Reminded me a lot of...
He did remind me of somebody, and I can't think of who, and I want to say Patrick Wilson. No.
No, a little bit of Patrick Wilson. Maybe that but more...
Terry Elwes? No.
No. Oh, what's his name now?
He reminded me of something. Like, he looks like someone, like somebody I've seen.
He reminded me, I could have seen Matthew McConaughey in this role.
Yeah. I didn't think you reminded me of him, but really? Yeah, I could see it. I could see it now that you say it.
Mm-hmm. But, and then the guy who played, was her name Ellie, I think it was, Ellie's dad, mm-hmm. reminded me of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he had that rugged look to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed the movie. I felt it was an interesting take on the whole exorcism plot line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought...
It wasn't average. That's what I liked about it. You're right. Yeah.
Cotton Marcus, I thought, was an interesting character. The way that he admitted he was a fraud and was kind of talking about the theatrical ways he did things. I thought the girl that played Ellie did a great job. Where I ran into the issue is Cotton realizes that, no, she's pregnant. And at first we didn't know if it, maybe it was the dad with some incest and stuff, because that's kind of what it suggested. But then she said, no, it's the guy at the diner. But they talked to the guy at the diner and he's gay and he's like, she's lying.
Mm-hmm. And then Logan, was it?
Logan.
Logan, yeah.
And then they go back to the farm and there's a cult doing a thing where the they're ritual. Removing a demonic baby from her and throwing it into the fire. To me, that kind of like, wait, what did we just jump the shark?
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me.
Yeah. I mean, the only good part about that scene, I thought, is when he's walking towards a big bonfire holding the cross and it reflects the picture Ellie had drawn before.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. But other than that, I was like, she did not look pregnant. And so they should not be able to deliver any sort of intact baby from her.
You know, when Cotton has Ellie on the bed and he's like working on her, you would have seen a baby bump.
Right, yeah.
You would have seen a baby. So when they tell you, oh, she's pregnant, I'm like, oh, well, she's just starting.
Right.
And then when she has a baby, the baby's like a full-grown fetus, not a full, you
not
know,
full, it's
a
but full, big enough.
Yeah, that, big enough to leave an impression.
Yeah.
And then they throw it in a fire, which I don't understand if this is the devil's son and they're worshiping this thing. Would they throw it in a fire?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they keep it? It's a creature. It's what they wanted. I don't know. It just didn't... That part didn't make sense.
Right.
It and lost then, me at that point.
And then Ellie's brother kills the cameraman. But so he's in the cult.
Yeah.
But then why was he like... Why did he tell the preacher, you know, don't let her be alone with him? There were a few little disconnects there.
There were. I did like that the pastor from the church that Cotton goes to visit for help, for assistance, turns out to be the cult leader. I thought that was a nice touch.
And there's actually a sequel. So there's a Last Exorcism 2, which tells me that this was actually the second to last exorcism. I don't think it was found footage, and it follows Ellie after all this happens, and as she tries to leave the cult and put her life back together. I saw it. I don't recall much about it, which tells me it was mediocre at best, probably a sequel that shouldn't have been made except for as a cash grab. One thing about this movie that annoys me is, and this is the thing with all found footage films, you have to have a real justification for why is the camera filming everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the end, when the cameraman is running for his life and he looks around, he obviously looks around by pulling the camera up rather than just looking around.
I know.
You know, it's...
It's really, you know, it's hard to execute a seamless found footage film.
Yeah.
You know, because there are things that you're going to do without the camera.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you turn around, look. You know, you put it down. You don't record every single minute.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, in that case, the cameraman's a horror movie because who the fuck wants to do that? You
right.
know?
But, exactly. I mean, if I was that cameraman, I would have dropped that camera and run.
Oh, yeah. You know? I would have flung it at, your assailant.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to carry around this camera with a light. It's holding you down. It's got a light indicating where you were at all times.
Yeah.
And you're running away from a monster. Come on.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's still, you know, there's some out there that do a pretty good job.
There are some that are able to pull it off better than others. Although there were these few quirks, like the end twist seemed very confusing, and the whole justification of filming everything. Despite those, I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, there's definitely a little horror film forgiveness.
Yeah.
But I mean, not enough to trash it completely.
Right. The brother who kind of tried to send them on their way, he was also in Get Out. He was the family's brother because he was like, you know, he's like, man, you could be a beast in MMA. And he tries to wrestle him and stuff like that. Is the same guy. He
really
plays kind of just a sleazeball,
like a douchebag
in his roles. Yeah.
I thought it was still a great documentary style found footage film. I felt at the beginning where he's like explaining about his life is a good foundation for the film.
Yeah, I agree.
And then it goes into the travel segment. And then it goes into the introduction with a family, and then it just gets darker and darker and darker as it goes along. And I thought it was well done in that respect.
If they're in this cult, why would he call for an exorcist to begin with?
But because the dad didn't know, because the dad was tied up, remember?
Yeah, but
the dad's the one that called for him.
Right, but if...
You're right. I think you're onto something.
If Ellie and the brother are in the cult, the dad's in the cult too.
Not necessarily. Didn't the two kids have dealings with a pastor? Didn't she go to school? And then the dad pulled her out?
Yeah. But how could
But it doesn't
kids,
make sense that he would know.
Right, yeah.
It's usually the parents bring the kids to the cult.
Right.
Kids do not join a cult without... Damn it, Brent Allen.
Yeah.
You got it. Man, that kind of just...
Derailed everything,
whole film. You just disassembled the whole film. Man, that's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a wrap. But what did you have anything else to say?
No, I totally undercut what you were about to say. I don't know what you were about to say, but I was like, oh, an A.
All I was going to say was that I do like that mix of found footage, demonic possession, and cult.
Yeah.
But when you have a found footage film, it's always mixed with something. It's either a plague or possession, or, you know, a monster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just about a found footage. That's just a style.
Right.
But there's got to be an external monster or element that fucks with that found footage cameraman.
Right.
Either way, though, I think it was not too bad.
It was enjoyable.
Until two minutes ago.
When I pointed out the plot hole you could drive a truck through.
Yeah. Oh, holy crap.
So, think about what you're going to give it. And then
I'm going to get, do you want me to guess what you're?
You can guess me first.
Okay, let me guess you first. I think you gave this, I was going to say 6. Now I think you probably give it more like 4.5.
No, originally this movie was a 7.5 for me.
Mm-hmm.
But with the end, the weird, confusing twist at the end and the huge plot hole, I think that cost it at least a point. I'm going to drop this down to a 6 because of that. It's still not a bad movie, but this is a pretty significant plot hole.
Yeah.
And again, the very confusing twist at the end, which I think detracted from the movie. The movie was better without that twist at the end.
I agree.
So I'm going to say you gave it... I think originally you were pretty high on it. I think you were originally like a 7,
mm-hmm.
but I think now you're dropping it down to a 4.
I'm going to give it a 5.
5, okay.
No, you know, I'm going to give it a 4.5. You really kind of screwed with me there because you're right. You were dead on the money. I was going to give it a 7, and you just kind of like yanked me down. So I guess 4.5, really. I thought Cotton was the best part. I thought Cotton was the best protagonist.
Yeah, yeah, the leading man.
The leading man, yeah.
I thought he was a strong actor, a strong character, very believable. Yeah, I thought...
Good performance.
I thought the acting by everybody was actually very well done.
Yes. Yeah, I thought Ellie was great. I thought the dad was great. I thought that Cotton was good, and the producer and the cameraman, you know.
Yeah.
Also, the brother, even, you know, he did a good job. Man, and I really liked the pastor. I love that whole thing where he's like, you know, you think he's going to help him, and then it turns out he's a cult leader.
Yeah, which, just weird. But Okay, so that was The Last Exorcism, or actually the second to last exorcism, but we're probably not going to cover the sequel.
The second to last exorcism, yeah.
Before we go on, here's a brief word about our Patreon.
Hey there, horror fans. We would love your support. At patreon.com/shriekpreviews, not my personal information. For $4 a month, we can continue to bring you different perspectives of things that go bump in the night. Naughty. Also, leave a shiny 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. And be a love. Tell your friends who enjoy the thrill of a scary movie. You know, who doesn't like a thrill? Naughty again. Last but not least, darling, write and tell us what you want to hear or share your own spooky story that gives one goosebumps, like a soft tickle in the back of the neck. Now, who's being naughty now?
Okay, so, Dan, now that I gave my recap, now you get to tell us about The Devil Inside.
Okay, The Devil Inside came out in 2012, directed by William Brent Bell. So in 1989, a woman is under the care of the Catholic Church after committing 3 murders during what is believed to be an exorcism. The woman's daughter, Isabella, travels to Italy to see her mom and reconnect with her and learn more about what happened.
This is years later. When
years later, 20 years later.
Yeah.
So then 2 young priests get involved with her and strange things start to happen, including the transference of the demon from the mother, Maria, to one of the priests. Mm-hmm. And the priest ends up, you know, killing himself,
trying to kill a baby. And
exactly. Yeah, that was, I really can't believe they did that.
Yeah.
That was a great scene for a horror movie. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's no way he's going to do this. They're going to avoid it or something. And no, he sticks a baby in the water and everybody's freaking out. A great tension scene.
Yeah.
Mm. What did you think about this?
Well, I think this movie did a better job of justifying the camera. I felt that it wasn't the camera was always on. They do turn the camera off at certain times and things like that. Mm. And when they, you know, it's because Isabella is kind of trying to film a documentary about this whole thing. It makes sense when they are filming. Overall, though, I felt that this movie lacked in pacing.
Yes.
It dragged a bit.
A little too talky.
Yeah.
I felt. Yeah.
And I definitely feel that if I were an exorcist and I was evaluating the case of Maria Rossi, I would definitely have to conclude that this was mental illness and not demonic possession.
But in the film, they depict her climbing up the wall, do they not? I'm thinking about The Last Exorcist because we watched both of them.
Yeah.
I saw them both back to back. I could have sworn that Maria does the same thing. She just throws a priest across the room.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, there was one where maybe it was this one where she climbs up the wall and they drag her down. And I forgot about that. But
for the most part, yeah, it seems like you could write. If it weren't for that, if that's indeed what happened.
Yeah.
I don't understand one thing about this, Brent, is that how does Marie end up in Italy from the U.S.? So the murders occurred in the U.S.
Yes.
And she went to prison or an institute or whatever, and now suddenly she's in Italy.
That she went to an institution in Italy.
But why? If her crime was committed here in the U.S., I don't think the Catholic Church has the power,
the authority,
to say, oh, this person should not be in prison. They should be in, you know, in an institute here with us. That's what I felt they didn't explain well enough.
Right. It explained that she was found not guilty by way of insanity, and she was remanded to this mental institution in Italy.
In Italy.
But which, why?
Why? Why?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not knocking it, but it doesn't explain how, you know, why that caused it.
Yeah.
I thought the film overall was very creepy. Excuse me, a lot of good scenes in this. Especially that baptism scene with a little kid, the little baby, the priest taking his life, you know, it has a bit of a buildup, but you have to wait for it, and in that wait, it sometimes drags,
right?
It lags. I did have to say, though, you know what I liked about this a lot? Hmm. At the very end, when the film ends, you get the credits and no music.
Yeah.
And it was just like a eerie silence.
Right.
You just see the scroll. And I know it's such a small thing, but sometimes little things like that help a movie.
Yeah, certainly, yeah.
Because it's like an abrupt ending, and then there's nothing, and you just see the scrolling of the credits.
Because that was great. Was that a car wreck?
It was a car wreck, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was the filmmaker, the remaining priest, and Isabella.
Isabella, right.
Yeah, because the other one took his life.
Yeah, Isabella was starting to show
transference.
Signs of possession herself.
Uh-huh.
And then she started freaking out. And yeah, they ended up
crashing into a truck or something, or some vehicle, didn't they?
Yeah, and yeah.
And then it just cuts.
It just cuts, yes.
The ending was okay, but they could have done better. For a demonic possession movie, it looks like she's just convulsing and then it just...
Right. See, whereas I thought in Last Exorcism, like, the movie was great up until the last 10 minutes. In this one, I think the movie was kind of blah until the last 10 minutes. Actually, I'd say probably the baptism scene on was the best part of the movie.
Yeah, I'd say you're right. Yeah, like I said, it just kind of lagged all the way up to that point, and then, you know, that's when... Because right when that baptism scene happens... That was like the catalyst for all shit to go, hell to break loose.
Yeah.
You get the filmmaker coming home with a priest, and then the priest goes upstairs, and then everybody's freaking out. He kills himself. They go take Isabella, and that's when everything starts moving.
Right.
Before that, it was just a lot of explaining and this, and no, you got to do that, and, you know, back and forth. But you're right. It did do a lot better addressing why are they filming and, you know, justifying everything they shoot.
Yeah.
So I did kind of like this better. I had a certain way that I thought Last Exorcism was. And then when you pointed out the plot hole, it kind of dropped me. So this kind of like, you know, did this to me.
Yeah, you're kind of balancing out.
Yeah.
This one, I will say, like I said, it justified the cameras more. Like, for instance, when they're in the car and all the shit is going on, that's because the camera is... installed in the car. He's not making the effort to film things. It's just the camera is there.
Yeah.
And that makes sense rather than, oh, all kinds of fuckery is happening. I better look through the camera for this.
Yeah.
So
now we're going to go on to the ratings.
Yeah, we'll go to the rating.
Okay. And first of all, I have to thank Vincent from the AMC Theaters in Vernon Hills for recommending this film.
Vincent, thank you so much. And please continue to recommend more movies. We listen to what our listeners suggest, and we've done a handful of recommendations before, so this is just the latest one. So, yeah, Vincent, big shout out to you on that one.
And so I think you gave this a 6.
I gave this a 5.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it was average, even, you know, since technically average on a 10 is 5.5, slightly below average. It didn't hold my interest until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it, blah.
Okay.
I think you gave this a 6.
I gave it a 6 right on the dot. You got it. Yeah, this is one of those movies where you kind of like don't know what in your case and mine, we don't know what the other one is thinking about it, because we're kind of just spitting out comments and we're not really as expressive as if this were, you know, the Last Exorcism. Aliens were like very expressive, but, you know, but we were kind of just like, this and that happened, and then, you know.
Right.
I would say it's one of those movies you got to watch and make up your mind about.
Sure. Yeah. Both of these movies, neither of these movies was bad per se. Neither of these were a waste of time.
No.
But in my opinion, The Devil Inside is just eh. Mm-hmm. And Last Exorcism was actually pretty good, except for the plot twist and the plot hole. But, you know, it's up to the listeners to decide how much horror movie forgiveness they can give in that particular case.
Brent, let me ask you, what makes a good demonic possession found footage film? What would you like to see in a film like this? Apart from no plot holes and, you know, and good pacing.
Well, I mean, essentially... We've talked many times in that one of my favorite horror movies And one of the only ones I've ever given 10 skulls to is Paranormal Activity.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a found footage demonic possession film. Mm-hmm. It's just very different because it's not a priest coming in to do it's a possession movie. It's not an exorcism movie. Mm-hmm. That's the ramp up to the action and the spookiness is pretty consistent. And I just thought it was really well done. And there's no real significant plot holes in there, and it doesn't try to throw on some weird twist. Well, it throws on a weird twist in the sequels, and that's why the sequels are not nearly as good as the original.
That's the thing about Paranormal Activity. It's very straightforward, not pretentious. This is happening. In this one, the last 20 minutes was where you get all the meat.
Yeah.
In The Last Exorcism, you get that dumb plot hole that ruined it for me. I'm like, fuck, you really... But you were so right, and you were so right to point it out.
Yeah. Listeners, both of these movies, we recommend you watch them and decide for yourself. Neither of these movies was a keep it on your shelf and watch it frequently, but neither of these were a, ooh, avoid it at all costs. So,
middle of the road.
Yeah, very middle of the road. So, as is custom, now we are going to discuss, or we're going to watch and review a trailer. Now, this is a trailer for something I'm not sure how I feel about it yet. I haven't watched the trailer yet. It's an A24 film, so we know A24 puts out some unusual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some is really good, some is less.
Don't they do Ari Aster films?
Yeah, they do a lot of the Ari Aster films and such. So this is one that's coming out called I Saw the TV Glow. Listeners, I'll put the link in the show notes and you can watch it alongside with us, and we'll see you back here in just a minute. So Dan, what'd you think of the trailer for I Saw the TV Glow?
Not scary at all. Not scary at all. Coming of age crap is what came to my mind. It's
although there's some horror elements definitely in there.
Where the monster?
But
you get like very little of the monster. It doesn't give you the impression like this is a horror movie.
And the fact that she disappeared and all that was left was her burning TV and stuff like that. I mean, here's what I will say. First of all, it definitely looks like an A24. And B, even after watching this trailer, I still have no clue what this movie is about.
I'm thinking, like I said, coming of age crap. You know, this guy's trying to get close to this girl, and then you see that romantic run across the screen where they embrace. It's, you know, it's artsy, it's licorice pizza. It's what I'm getting out of this, man. It's categorized as horror drama.
Yeah,
that means it's not going to scare you. It's dramatic. it's not going to scare you, man. May 3rd, it's coming out. I'm kind of interested to see it, to see what kind of mix they come up with it in palette, but it's not something I want to see in the theaters. It's like a teenage romantic drama with a little horror elements because these kids watched this horror movie when they were a kid or this horror show.
Right. Something tells me this isn't even going to be in the theater. I think this will be streaming somewhere. Maybe this will be a Shudder or something like that. I don't see this even being in the theaters.
I think it's a little more, because it's artsy, I feel it's not going to be in Shudder. No, Shudder's got a lot of cheap crap that nobody's seen in decades. You know, you dust it off and then you're like get about to put it into the DVD, the Blu-ray player, and then you're like, and second thought, I'll just see what's on Netflix. That's what Shudder is. Once in a while you get a movie, movie, but it's hard to find.
Fair enough.
But it's also a treasure trove for finding old crap that you haven't seen or you've been wanting to see.
Diamonds in the rough.
Yeah. But definitely this will not be, I don't see this being on Shudder. I see it being on Netflix, possibly.
Yeah, Netflix or maybe Max.
Uh-huh, but not in the theaters. I mean, but then this, for some reason, what came to mind was that licorice pizza. Is that the movie that was out like a year ago? Hang on.
I don't know. I mean, you said those words together and I was like, okay, I don't know what that means, but I'm just going to let Dan rant.
It came out in 21, licorice pizza, romance comedy, coming of age drama, you know, kind of Paul Thomas Anderson directed that. And this is when I saw the trailer for this. That's what came to mind. But by no stretch of the imaginations, don't think this will scare you.
Honestly, this looks to me like Stranger Things ordered off of Wish.com.
Yeah, Stranger Things-esque, but with a lot less action and horror.
A lot less awesome.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I guess we'll just have to see what the reviews are on this and if we think it's worth our time to cover it on the podcast. So,
listen. I have one more thing. Yeah. I think I have a feeling that this is going to get high marks because of its artsy nature. Romantic, artsy test, you know. But we'll see. Time will tell.
Maybe. I mean, it just depends.
Interesting find. Where did you find? How did you find? On YouTube or what?
I was looking at a list of horror movies coming out, and this was on there.
This
and
popped
I was like,
up.
Yeah, A24. Like I said, A24 has Ari Aster movies that tend to be great.
Yeah.
And then some just weird stuff. Well, I guess we'll see what happens.
Wasn't Skinamarink A24? Or is that just totally like an independent?
I think that was totally independent. Okay. I don't think that was A24. I hope it wasn't.
Yeah.
So. But listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you very much. Interact with us. You can email us at shriekpreviews@gmail.com or interact with us on TikTok. We are shriek_previews or find us on Instagram at shriekpreviewspodcast. Thank you so much. We will talk at you next week.